So I'd like to talk to us tonight just a little while about current status. Have a few real life experiences that are probably not totally different than anybody else's here. Just relate a few of them, or maybe one or two. There's such a thing as having a farm account at a retailer that sells farm supplies, like Atwood's, Race Brothers over in Carthage. If you have a farm account and you have a little bit of livestock where you are in agricultural endeavors, whether you're raising, you have 5 cows or 500 cows, you could be raising chickens, you could be raising hay crops, you could be raising tomatoes and selling them at the farmer's market over here. And there are things that would qualify for tax exempt status if you have a farm account. So if you buy feed for cows that are not pets, if you're feeding cows to take to the sale barn to sell for hamburgers and steaks, you can buy feed without paying sales tax on it. Okay? But you have to have a current farm account at those places that typically would charge sales tax on those kind of things. And you can't go in and buy recreational things and qualify. I mean, there's all kinds of, sometimes you go in to buy something for your farm and it's like, okay, I can sell you a bag of feed, but I can't sell you a can of WD-40 without charging you tax on that. Anyway, there's just some things that qualify and some things that don't. But the point I'm trying to bring is you have to have a current farm account. If it's not current, and I've had a farm account in times past that has expired due to time, due to inactivity, whatever, it's not valid anymore. And you have to update your account for it to be valid. And in my line of work, there are, to be able to use our diagnostic equipment, there are certain types of vehicles on the market today that for me to access information and be able to make repairs and then clear the trouble codes that turn out the light on the dash that says check engine or ABS or whatever kind of warning light might be on your dash, I have to have a scan tool that has the current software level, and I have to have a valid or current license with a third party between me and the manufacturer that says anytime I hook up to the vehicle, it takes my scan tool, takes the vehicle's VIN number, and it connects with the internet to some server at that manufacturer's headquarters, and it checks my status and my tool status, and then if it's okay, it unlocks my tool to where I can actually do what I need to do. Now that sounds like a lot of gibberish for you that don't work on cars, and I'll tell you, it can be a lot of gibberish when you're working on a car. It can be a headache when you're trying to do something and you don't have something that's not current. Something is expired. Something is lapsed. And, you know, there's a lot of things in life to keep up to date. Sister Leslie was talking about paying bills there before service started, and she's of the practice, and I think it's a good practice when the bill comes in, you you get it paid right away. That's a good way to take care of business so that it doesn't get behind. I mean, I've done it. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do it this afternoon and put it on the sun visor or underneath a book. And then, 30 days has passed and I forgot to pay the bill. And then I even let it go one time long enough that I got this phone call from these people, and it was like, they were telling me I needed to pay my bill. And it's like, I don't even remember getting a bill. I'd let it go too long. And, you know, those kind of things can happen to us in many different areas of our life. And it's important that we keep a current status in our... We come here not to talk about bills or farm accounts or fixing cars, right? We came here tonight because we're interested in our inner man, in our soul, in our relationship with God. So I'd like for us to read over here in the Old Testament. I'll read an account in the book of Ezekiel. As a general rule, the book of Ezekiel is very difficult to navigate. He says some things that makes me scratch my head, but we're not going to get real deep into all that he said here. But I would like to go to Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm going to read several verses, so I'd just like for us to follow along here. We're going to begin at verse 1. It says, "And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." So this is a direct communication from God to the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a man that lived. He was a contemporary with Daniel. If you're familiar with Daniel and the three Hebrew children in the Old Testament, they were carried away captive to Babylon. There's a lot of details I could give you about that, but Ezekiel was someone that lived in the same basic time period as Daniel did. So he said, the God talked to him. "The Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man," verse 2, "speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." Okay, so we have a... he said, this is what I want you to tell the people. If there would happen to be a time when distress, when trouble came, Old Testament, they're talking about a sword, the enemy coming, something that would come against us. In the event that happens, then you need to take a man and set him for a watchman, someone that would be paying attention, and his duty would be to watch out for the enemy that would be coming and infiltrating. We're talking about a conflict, warfare, that type of thing. And verse 5 says, "He heard the sound," talking about someone that could have heard the sound of the trumpet from the watchman. "He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, sees trouble coming, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." So he gave this as an illustration. If you had a security guard, and at our place of business, we have a electronic surveillance. We have one of these infrared beams that go all the way around the perimeter of the place. We have some motion detectors, and we have some door jar switches. If the door got pried open in the building or something like that, any of those things would happen, then it sets off an alarm. And after a very short period of time, you can ask my wife about this, if we don't cancel the alarm, I get a phone call. It might be 4 o'clock in the morning. I got one of those this week. Get a phone call, 4 o'clock in the morning. This is the alarm company. You have a burglar alarm over there at your place of business. Yes, ma'am, I know there's an alarm going off. Because they had tried to call me 30 minutes earlier, and I couldn't get to the phone by the time that... And they had dispatched the sheriff, and the sheriff had come out, and he was out there walking around, and he's the one that was setting off the alarm the second time. So I told him, yes, ma'am, I know the alarm's going off. The sheriff is there checking things out. She said, do you want us to call the authorities? I said, no, they're already there. But the point is, we had a watchman. Although it wasn't a watchman sitting out there, there was an electronic watchman. And he warned us. And I didn't respond quick enough. And the law enforcement came out. They did their job. Before it was all over, I even talked to the sheriff. And I told the sheriff, I really appreciate you going out and checking on everything. You did exactly what I really appreciate you doing that. Well, if you have a watchman looking out for you or your goods, and they're doing their job, then we ought to be thankful for that, right? So we're talking about keeping our status current tonight. And listen to what this goes on to say. He says, but if the watchman see the sword come and he doesn't do his job, he says, I'll require, but his blood, this is the last part of the sixth verse, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. So now we're taking this illustration, and Ezekiel is saying, the Lord told me this illustration, give me this story, and he's told me, I'm a prophet. That's what Ezekiel says. The Lord has put thee as a watchman, an overseer for the oversight of the people. Not so much for an enemy that would come with a physical sword, but for the enemy of our souls that would come and try to do us damage. Okay? So he says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. There's consequences for disobedience to the Lord. And it says, when I, he's talking about the Lord speaking here, say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou, the watchman, dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. That's a very responsible place, is it not? Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. The watchman is clear. The alarm company the other night did their job. Their equipment alerted them that something had broke the west fence beam. Might have been a dog. It might have been a deer. It might have been a person that stepped over it. Generally, if somebody comes and they step over the fence, it's just a... up it's about this tall. It's pretty easy for a man to hop over that fence. And he gets in there about 2 feet, breaks a beam, the alarm goes off, and he's, whoa, I don't want to be in here, and he goes back out. So it usually trips the alarm 2 times within about 20 seconds of each other. And that's when I know somebody thought they was going in and decided not to. And by the time I get on the cameras and start looking, their car is already gone. If that's happened one time, that's happened probably more than 50 times since we put that system in. I think it works. I like it. You know, I like to have somebody that gives me a current status. Hey, there's trouble coming up ahead. All right. He said, Ezekiel, that's your job. You're the one that I put my hand on. When I say that there's a consequence coming, you need to warn the people. You need to let them know. Thou therefore, or therefore, O son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Verse 10. Thus shall you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Is this, I think I'm where I need to be. There's a great responsibility to speak the truth and nothing but the truth when I stand behind this desk. And I want us all to have a current, up-to-date status with the Lord. So I'd like for us to, I'm not here to say you're not or you are. But I want us to individually, I want us to stop and think about something. I don't have any specific thing that I want to warn us about tonight. But I want us to get what's in the next 10 verses here. He says, saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I want us to really get a hold of that. The Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know, he knows what the consequences of that is. He didn't design mankind. He did not breathe the breath of life into a man and give him a living soul with any intent of him having to suffer through eternity. That wasn't God's plan. It's not. It wasn't his plan in the beginning, and it's sure not his plan today. There's not a person here tonight, there's not a person that may hear the words that I say that the Lord is hoping that you'll go out of this world with your status with him out of date. There's not one person that's ever left this world with an experience out of date that the Lord, that it made him happy. Everyone saddened his heart to see someone leave. And it's going to be that way until time is over, until this old world is over. He says, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Why would you go on and not heed the sound of the trumpet? All of us here, may the Lord help us to check ourselves and ask ourselves, what is my status right now? Is my farm account expired? Is my bill past due? Is my alarm going off and I'm not responding? Have I heard something? The Lord not gonna, has he been dealing with me about something? And I said, I'm not going to take care of that now. He says, therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. What's that talking about? No matter how carefully you live, when you come to the place that you lay it down and pick up a life of transgression, 40 years of experience as a Christian is not going to be enough protection for you. Is that what that says? The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. There is so much hope in that. The wickedness of the wicked won't cause him to fail in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Did you get that? People that have lived a terrible life have rejected God all the way down through their life, been like the one that was in the parable that Jesus told, that he went out, the man went out and hired somebody at the last hour of the day, so to speak, and brought them in and put them to work, and they worked until the end of the work day, and they got the same reward as somebody that worked all day. That gives me hope for people today that their status is expired. and it's been expired. Their status with the Lord is not what it should be. I want people, even if it's at the last moment, I want them to turn from their wickedness. That's what I get out of this verse. He says here, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. This is verse 12. Neither shall the righteous be able to live or to be accepted in eternity with heaven for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When we turn away and reject God and take up our old sinful practices again, I'm talking to me. I'm talking to anybody that's lived for God for any period of time. If we turn away from the Lord and pick up sinful habits, you know, it don't matter if it's a year, if it's 10 years, if it's 40 years, 50 years, it don't matter. I just threw it out the window. My status changed. My current status changed. It says, when I shall say, verse 13, to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trusts, that he shall sure, when I say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. He just elaborates on it. If no matter how good you've been or how carefully you've lived, if you throw it out the window and pick up a sinful lifestyle again, it's not going to, your status changed. We call it backsliding sometimes. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore his pledge, give again that he hath robbed, walked in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. You remember what the watchman was supposed to do? He was supposed to blow the trumpet. I believe that a minister has the obligation to speak the truth. And when the Lord deals with our heart, then we have an obligation. That was the Lord speaking. Yes, it might have been a man saying words, but it was the Lord that got a hold of my heart. And when the Lord gets a hold of my heart, whatever it is, that's what we need to do business with. And if I recognize that my status has slipped off of the hook, so to speak, Lord, help me. I want to get my status current again. I want to be able to be counted with the righteous. I don't want to be counted with the wicked. And we can. You know, when I was in high school, I hesitate a little bit about bringing this up because I didn't take the class, so I don't know what it was like to be there every day. And there was reasons I didn't take the class. But anyway, I won't go into all that. They had a class, and I really don't know what the purpose of it was, but I'm going to tell you, everybody that took the class stayed on their toes. The name of the class was Current Events. And they didn't have a textbook. They had a magazine that was published on the newsstand every 2 weeks. And that they were obligated to get a copy of that magazine and read it front to back. That's what their test was on. That's what their pop. And every morning when they come to class, they had a pop quiz. Every morning. And when they got up in the morning, they were to read all of the news. Absorb, read it, watch it, whatever. They were to absorb all of the news they could. And they might go into class and there might be a question that was asked them about some foreign country's event or something that happened in a distant city. I mean, it was on their toes all of the time. They called it Current Events. And to do get a good grade in that class, I would have probably not made it. Current Events has not really ever been my thing. But I'm going to tell you, I want my status with the Lord to be current. I want to be sensitive to when His Spirit is talking to me, whether it's His Spirit talking to me at home, or whether it's His Spirit talking to me through someone else, whether it's at service or whatever it is, I want my status to be current with Him. And I want it to be the right kind of status. I don't want it to say expired. I want it to say current, valid. I don't know what the right terminology is, but I want it to be on the good side, all right? Verse 17, it says, "Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal." You know, there's going to be complainers anywhere you go. You can complain if you want to about your status with the Lord. But if we don't do our due diligence to keep our status current, whose responsibility is it? Remember? When the watchman blew the horn, it was the individual's responsibility. When the Lord speaks to our heart, it's our responsibility. I really don't have any room to be complaining. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness, he's just reasoning with them some more. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby and suffer the consequences. That's my words. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. What's he saying there? Have you ever heard anybody say something's not fair? You might have said it. I've said it before, at least to myself. I don't think I've said it a lot out loud, but I've said it to myself. This is not fair. This is not right. Because we feel like we've been treated unjustly. And there are a lot of things that might qualify for being not fair. But I just want us to realize this evening that no matter how good I've been thus far in my life, I can't quit being good. I can't stop checking my status with the Lord. I have to keep checking it. Lord, is there anything? You know, the psalmist said, maybe we'll read that real quickly, in Psalms 139, I believe. The psalmist here is concerned about his status. So he says, in the last part of Psalms 139, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What's he saying? I'm concerned about my status with the Lord. You know, there's people out there that's concerned with their status of how they appear to others. But the psalmist said here, "Search me, O Lord." This is the one we've got to do business with in the end. And it's so easy, so much easier to keep our status up to date if we do it on a daily basis. The other day, one of our scan tools, I turned it on to use it, and it said, "Update available." And I had just been through a long phone call and trying multiple things to get my status to where I could hook up to a particular vehicle and do what I needed to do. And I knew if I didn't update it, that could drop off. So when I turned it on and it said update available, you know what I did? I clicked OK. Update it now, please. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait until I might forget. Don't procrastinate. And as I'm talking to you here tonight, I know there's another tool at the shop that needs the same update. They both get the updates at the same time. There's another one needs an update. Lord willing, when I get there in the morning, I'm going to get that update started. Because I don't want it to not be usable. I don't want to come up against a situation where we need it and it don't work. We never know when life might change for us. None of us do. There are people that exit this life suddenly. And I'm not trying to scare anybody here tonight. I just want to challenge us to check our status. Where are we at with the Lord? If you realize the Lord's been trying to... You've had this little voice in your ear saying, you know, you need to do an update. You know, updates is a thing of our life anymore. All of our electronic things have updates available. We turn them on, we go to use them, and something's not working like it used to, and we shut it off and we turn it back on, and all of a sudden everything's fixed. You know how that works. Well, you know, if we recognize the Lord is speaking to us tonight, I want to challenge us to get our status current, updated. Get it to where we know. The psalmist said, search me, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way. And is there something that the Lord needs to update in my software tonight? You know, when we come to the Lord for salvation, we're asking for a different set of hardware. But when we go on through life, there's going to be times that we recognize maybe you haven't thrown it all out the window, but it's time I need to do a software update. I need the Lord. I want to make sure my status is where it ought to be. I want it to work. I like stuff to work when I turn it on, and I know you do too. Nobody likes it. The other day, I'll quit telling stories and I'll sit down. But the other day in the break room, we got two microwaves to warm up our food at lunchtime, and one of the fellas come in. My food was in the microwave, and it was almost done. And I told him, I said, there's another one right there. And he said, every time I put my food in there and turn it on, it throws a breaker. So he didn't want to use that one. Okay, well, I'd let him, you know, he can use this one when he... anyway, it's so easy for us to avoid something when it's not like it should be. And if it throws a breaker on us, we're going to avoid it. And then we get in a worse shape and we avoid it more and avoid it more. Lord, help us tonight. Check our status. If it needs to be updated, the Lord is there. Remember, He does not want to see one person go out of this world with their status not right with Him. He does not want to see one person leave this world that's not acceptable in His sight. People do, but it's not because the trumpet didn't blow. It's not because He didn't talk to their hearts. You pray for me. I want my status current.